The discussion is applicable both to Christians and to non-Christians. Losing the word. Just a few weeks ago, I present about 3 or 4 lessons dealing with the ears. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. And those lessons, they were based on what the Bible teaches, that we must use our ears in a moral way. In fact, Brother Bean had asked a question that somebody, probably the person, picked up the lesson on the internet, and Brother Bean had retrieved it and gave it to me, but the person wants us to have a discussion. I'm sorry that it is not one of those situations where I could deal with the person on a one-to-one basis or even in an audience, whatever. I am thinking about responding, but I'm not sure, because I think the person's contention is the brief gist that I get from what the person said is that you cannot use your ears morally. And when we speak about morality, we need to understand that basically morality deals with wrong and right. We can use our ears in an immoral way. You allow your ears to listen to all sort of degrading, immoral thing. You're using your ears in an immoral way. But if you are conscientious and use your ears to always listen to things that are right, things that are constructive, you use your ears in a moral way. I'm just dealing with just the basic of what is implied in using our ears morally. Yes, so when we have that lesson, it was about 3 or 4 lessons. The lessons surround passage like Mark chapter 4, verse 24-25. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. But the lesson, especially tracing the lesson from, I think, Mark, grew out of a parable Jesus Christ told about the sower that went forth to sow. In that lesson, we discussed the fact that the Bible, may I use the word warns, I can also use the word encourages us to be careful what we hear, how we hear, and who we hear. I find that quite interesting. Mark you, I did not even touch the who we hear. I plan to have at least 2 lessons on that, because the other 2 era, what we hear and how we hear, was what took up the 3 or 4 lessons that were shared with you a few weeks ago. But I feel that probably another time we will look on who you hear what you hear. What we look on tonight briefly is important to us, and it is relevant while it comes out of the same passage. Well, let me make it six. About 6 points, brief point, I'm hoping to show tonight. These were not covered in the lessons then. But the whole point about the lesson is taken from the parable that when we hear the word, we must not lose the word. You or I do not do ourselves good when we easily forget what God's word says to us. Because that was the basis of the parable. We are expected to commit to memory as much truth as we possibly can. By doing so, we will protect and preserve our soul. When the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, that is a wise advice from heaven. If the word of God stays in us sparingly, meanly, then my God, when we are faced with different situations in life where we need God's word, be it for strength, for encouragement, for direction, then we don't have it because we don't remember anything that has been taught to us. So when in the parable it points out about losing the word, and that came up in the when Jesus Christ was explaining what the parable means. Now, I also pointed out in that lesson that the parable of the sower, as recorded in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it is the first parable that Jesus Christ employed to teach great lesson. In this parable, Jesus Christ brought to our attention the importance of the seed, which is the word of God. Jesus Christ also brought to our attention the evils and the perils that we must be mindful of as it relates to listening to the word of God. In that parable, what we gather is that the kingdom of Jesus Christ grows out of the seed. And that is the, wait, let me repeat that. The kingdom of Jesus Christ grows out of the seed, which is the word of God. And if God's kingdom grow out, if Christ's kingdom grow out of the seed, that is telling us how important the seed is. And the seed is the word of God. Now, Among the first evils faced by those who hear the word, Jesus Christ pointed out that it was the evil of losing the word before faith has made the word fruitful and productive. I'm going to repeat that. Don't say to yourself, well, that is relative. That pertain to the ungodly. No, it pertain to Christian. That we must make sure we hold on to truth. But you don't just hold on to truth. Hold on to truth indefinitely until that truth generate the type of faith that will make the word of God fruitful or productive. The word of God must be productive in our lives. We not just come to church and learn truth and we just go on about our lives and we are the same every day. The truth in us is neither going here nor there. No. The truth you and I learn, the Almighty God expects that it will be productive. It will produce something in us, and we will use it to produce something in the people who come in contact with us. It must be productive. Keep in mind that whatever the Almighty God through Jesus Christ is going to do or accomplish in us, for us, it is going to be done by the Word. Let me repeat that. Whatever the Almighty God is going to accomplish in us, do for us or by us, it's going to be accomplished by the word of the gospel. That's it. One, it is by the word of the gospel that Jesus Christ is revealed or made known to us. You and I would never have known about Jesus Christ by our imagination, by our thinking, by our dreaming. For one thing, the way the Almighty God sent Jesus Christ into the world, we would never imagine that. We would never imagine that a great God, powerful God, mighty God, would have chosen such a twist and turn and complicated and humble way to bring Jesus Christ into the world. But through the word that is revealed in the gospel, you and I are enlightened about how God in his wisdom chose to bring Jesus Christ into the world. So it is by the word of the gospel that Jesus Christ is revealed to us. When the Bible tells us, both in Romans and Corinthians, Romans, that faith comes by hearing, that is Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. That is, faith in Jesus Christ comes by listening to God's word. Remember where we are coming from. Don't lose the word. The whole, for the next few minutes, all that I'll be saying relate to the fact that comes out in the parable, because that's the meat of the parable. You notice that there were about four to five categories of listeners in the parable. Hearers. And of the four or five, only one was the right listener, hearer of the word. Just one. The others, all the others, were careless hearers. And what is significant about that one wise hearer was that that one retained the word. So, what I'm discussing tonight deals with don't lose the word. Wait, I'm not here implying that all of us have fantastic memory. No. There are some who have to struggle to remember some things. But you know what? Apply different ways to remember as much as you can. Make sure that the Bible you use over a period of time, it's a marked Bible. When you read something important, at the top of the page, you make jotting. Apply different common sense ways to be able to find what you want in the Bible. You know what? When the Almighty God in heaven sees that you are so interested in learning and remembering His truth, the Almighty God is going to work with you. That's a fact. But when you discourage yourself by saying, "For me brain no good, me can't remember nothing," and you end with it there, then, brothers and sisters, make sure that God doesn't see that you are looking for an excuse not to put out effort. God expects us to put out effort. There's nothing that is as valuable, important, as we go through this life, facing different challenges and different opportunities, holding the word of the gospel has no peer, no comparison. Yes, so I've said that all that the Almighty God going to be doing for us, through us, by us, it's going to be done through the word. And one of the first things I mentioned, that it is by the word of the gospel that Jesus Christ is revealed or made known to us. And I bring to your attention our very faith, it came about when we listened to the word of Christ and about Christ. And that's what Romans is about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen now to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 23. Let us hear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 1:23. Following. Hold it. The very moment the brother, that is Brother Paul, talk about preaching Christ, it's talking about preaching the gospel. And it also implies not only someone preaching or teaching it, but someone listening it and keeping in memory what they have learned. Read on, brother.
"But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, mm-hmm. Christ the power of God, mm-hmm. and the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men."
Always. Read on.
"And the weakness of God is stronger than men."
Wonderful truth. God, if there's any area, there's no area where God is weak, truly. But if there's anywhere that God is weak, He is still stronger than the strongest man. Read on, brother.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world.
All of this, it's important that Christians keep in mind that God does not usually travel the route that man expects him to travel. You see, if we don't keep that in mind as we face the different challenges in life, we will become disheartened, we will become discouraged, because we'll be wondering, is there a God? But you see, when you understand how God operates, then whatever is happening on this earth won't faze you, because you understand how God operates. All of that we learn through the gospel. What verse are you? Read verse 28, and I'm going to stop you here.
And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
Things which are not. Read that again for me, brother.
And base things of the world.
That is the low things of the world.
And things which are despised. Hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
That's wonderful truth there, you know. Things that do not exist, God used to bring about the things that now exist. In other words, what that sound complicated, what it is saying, God bring something out of nothing. That's our great God. Remember, the point I mentioned first in the passage of Romans, that passage was really telling us that it is by the word that faith is begotten. That was, I should have pointed out, that was among the first thing, that by the word of God, faith is begotten. And then the point that we are on now is that by the word, Christ is revealed. And then thirdly, it is by the word that conviction of sin is brought about. There are many places we can go in the Bible. But we can go also where the first gospel message was preached, in Acts chapter 2, when the Bible tells us that as Peter preached, they were pricked in their heart. That is saying that preaching Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which is the facts of the gospel, brought about conviction of sin. It was out of that conviction of sin that the people responded, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" That is, what must we do to be saved? What is the point? That conviction of sin is brought about by the word of the gospel. A passage that I like is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24 and 25. Let us hear it.
But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report.
That is, when you talk about the what of his heart, that is talk about conviction. This man who is not a believer, having heard the word, having witnessed how all those in the audience, all the Christians, gave support to the preaching of the word, it says he fell on his face and worshiped.
Amen.
The passage is talking about the conviction, how the conviction of sin is brought about. Fourthly, it is by the word of the gospel that regeneration is effected. Let me repeat that. What I'm doing, I'm encouraging us from the parable, don't lose the word. Because all that God is going to do through us, for us, by us, it's going to be done by the word. When you and I don't have the word of God in our mind, in our brain, as we go about our various businesses in life, different situation comes up where if we remember that God's word says this, it would help us through those situations. But the fact that we do not put out any effort to remember, to retain many of the challenges that we face and fail, it's because we lose the word. So as I've said, fourthly, it is by the word that regeneration is brought about or is effected. There are many passages that can be read here. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. In fact, before, yes, we're going to read that and one or two other passages on regeneration. The word regeneration is from two Greek words. The first part of the word is palin. I'm sort of giving the English transliteration, taking the Greek letters, palin, P-A-L-I-N, and that word mean again. And then the other part of the word is Genesis. Not the book, but the word carried the same concept of the book of Genesis. So the two words that make up the word regeneration is palingenesis. Genesis means creation. And that's the word regeneration is from those two Greek words. The first part mean again. The second part mean creation. Translate in other ways, begotten or born again. Wherever in the Bible, like in the book of St. John, you see the word born again, it and the word that the brother is about to read in Titus is the same word, regeneration, born again. It is as if the thing is made twice. That's the concept. When Jesus Christ in the book of St. John, chapter 3, told Nicodemus that you must be born again. It's the word, the two words that I've mentioned here, regeneration. Let me hear it now in Titus chapter 3.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
As usual, the passage touches on something there that I just want to make a brief comment. Not by work of
righteousness, which we have done.
It's not the work of righteousness. Here the Bible is telling us that as Christians, we do engage in work of righteousness. But we must be careful what we attribute to those work of righteousness. That's fantastic. Read the old verse.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Washing of regeneration includes baptism. But the Bible here is telling us that we are not saved because of some good things we do. And even the work of righteousness, the right things that we do, that could not secure for us our salvation. Only in Jesus Christ, by the mercy and grace of God, could our salvation be secure. So this is why when the Bible tells us that when we have done all that are commanded for us to do, we should say to ourselves, we are unprofitable. Because there is nothing in us that would enable us to do something to get rid of our sins, to appease God, to satisfy God's righteousness, and to give us the righteousness which God's holiness demands. Nothing in us. The washing of regeneration. Now, that is Titus chapter 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Here again, washing, one talks about the washing of regeneration. That's baptism. Here, Paul again talking about the washing
of water.
Of water
by the word.
Is he talking about two different things? No, it's the same thing. Listen, Peter on the same subject. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 23.
Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again.
You see, that's the word regeneration. Notice, begotten us again.
Amen.
That's what the word paling means. Again, begotten us again. How?
Unto a lively hope.
Step down to verse 23.
Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth.
You see, wherever the Bible speaks about born again, the word going to have the central part in bringing that about. So here Peter tells us that being born again, not of corruptible seed,
amen,
but of incorruptible, and that is the word of God. We are people who have been born again. Christians are people who have been remade. But this work is done in Jesus Christ. I am just going down the list showing some things that the word accomplishes. We look on the fact that faith is regenerated through the word. Romans chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus Christ is revealed to us. It's through the word that we get to know Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, and 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I didn't read that one. It is by the word that conviction of sin is brought about. If you and I are going to help convert men to Jesus Christ, we must learn to depend on the word and let the word do the work. Fourthly, we pointed out just now that it is by the word that regeneration, any man, we were born again through the word. We were begotten through the word. And those you and I are going to help bring that about in, help them to be born again. It's going to take place through the word. That's why we must make sure we don't lose the word. It is by the word that the Christian way of life is defined. How do we know what Christianity is and isn't? It's by studying the gospel. We don't guess it. We don't imagine it. We don't sci-fi it out. We don't dream it. The Almighty God reveals it in the Word, in the Gospel. How do I know what Christianity is and isn't? How do I know what is acceptable to God and what is not? One of the radio listeners that I listened to, he called. He had called, left a message, and then I called him. And this is just this past week. He said, I've been listening to your program, sir. And he said, he has a grouse. He said, you don't preach like the other preachers on the radio. I listen most of the radio program. I said in my mind, he's listening too many radio programs. And he said, why you don't preach like other preachers? The man didn't know that he was paying me a compliment. Truly, that's a big compliment. He doesn't know how I feel good about that. And then he said, you have been on the subject of baptism from when, not when. What he doesn't know, that as he speak, I was assessing him. I realized that he has a growth with baptism. He's dying for us to leave the subject. And while probably within the next 2 weeks, we will be going to a subject that I want to get on, and that is, how should Christians relate to and respond to government and the laws of the land? Very important lesson. I think it is timely and relevant in this time of crime, that the gunmen out there will realize that don't try to fight against the government. You can't win. While the Almighty God is not a PNP or a labor right, that's right. But it is God's will that there be civil authority. So as I listen to this man, I realize he has a growth. And at the end, I was trying to show him, said, sir, our interest is not so much pleasing you or anybody out there, but preaching what God's truth is. And as I tried to reason with him on that, he said, you are nothing but a false preacher, and he hung up his phone. It is the gospel that defines what Christianity is. It's not what we like. It's not what we imagine. It's not what we work out. For you to know what Christianity is and isn't, you have to read the gospel of Jesus Christ. Study it. So it is by the word that the Christian way of life is defined. Run to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Read from verse 4. We have just another 5 minutes to go. Read from verse 4.
There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
I think you have the wrong passage, brother. I don't know how you find yourself at that passage. I'm the one who gives it to you. Yes, I think it is chapter 3. Yes, chapter 3. I ask that you read from verse 14. Verse 4. Yes, it is chapter 3.
From verse 4?
Yes. I said from verse 4 through verse 11.
Okay.
Read on and I'll stop you, but don't go beyond 11. In fact, we may not go that far.
Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
What we are looking at is the fact that it is in the gospel. It is the word of the gospel that defines what Christianity is.
Amen.
It's not guesswork. It's not from human smartness. It's not our imagination. It's not our dream. It is found in the revealed will of God to tell us what Christianity is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages...
Always remember that in the New Testament, mystery means something which was hidden but is now made plain.
Amen.
Most places in the New Testament, when you read about mystery, unless the passage indicates differently, it means something which was once hidden but is now revealed. Read.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles.
And there you have it, that the mystery, he's saying it's no more mystery. It was a mystery, but it is now made known unto the sons of men. This is talk about Christianity. Read on.
And it is now revealed unto his holy apostles
mm-hmm.
and prophets by the Spirit
mm-hmm.
that the Gentiles should be fellow hearers
mm-hmm.
and of the same body and partakers.
You see, in what is... Is that only that the Gentiles should be fellow hearers, or fellow inheritors of God's blessing, but that God, in God's will, God have it that they should be of the same what, brother?
The same body.
They should be of the same church.
Amen.
That's part of the will of God that is revealed, that was hidden in God from the beginning of the world, but Paul is saying it's now made known, it was revealed to the apostle, and the apostle bring it to us.
Amen.
So he's talking about the revealed will of God.
Amen.
You and I learn through God's revelation that it is not God's will that there be two or three or four churches or 500 to bring men and women back to God. There is but one church that Christ built for that purpose. Read a little further.
That the Gentiles should be fellow hearers
mm-hmm.
and of the same body.
Mm, that means the same church.
And partakers of his promise in Christ
mm-hmm.
by the gospel.
Read on. And when you said by the gospel, you see here again, it's talking about the word.
Amen.
The word. We have to listen to the word. Read.
Whereof I was made a minister
mm-hmm.
according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working
mm-hmm.
of his power.
read.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints,
mm-hmm.
is this grace given?
I just, since we're past here, we're passing, you notice humility. Things like that, we overlook it. Paul did not project himself as being the greatest Christian in the world. Because you see, the moment we start to think like that, Satan have us just where he wants us.
Amen.
That's humility. We're the least of saints. My God, look on the man who is saying that. We would tell, you know, I'm the greatest Christian in the world. No, we don't need that type of attitude. We need this type of attitude. Read, brother.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles
mm-hmm.
the unsearchable riches of Christ.
That's the gospel. Read a little more.
And to make all men see
mm-hmm.
what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Uh-huh.
Which from the beginning of the world
was hid,
hath been hid in God.
In God.
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To the intent.
With this in mind. That's the word, to the intent. This is what God had in mind.
Amen.
uh-huh.
That now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places.
That's angel. Uh-huh.
Might be known by the church,
uh-huh.
the manifold wisdom.
So in
God.
This passage, what verse are you?
Verse 10.
You may stop there. In this passage, Paul is telling us that the Almighty God revealed his will through them. And of course, they make God's will known to us, to the church, and to the world through their writing. Of course, I would like to back up here. The world not going to know the will of God unless the world gets to know it through the church. That's very important that we keep that in mind. And that includes you and me. When the Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, it means, in fact, the word translated there, ground, is territory. The church is the place where the truth is to be found. Who placed it there? Jesus Christ. He placed the truth in the hands of the church. It's up to you and me to make sure that men know the truth, the word of the gospel. Finally, it is by the word that men and women are sanctified. I'll just quote that because many of you know that passage, St. John chapter 17:17. Sanctify them. By thy word is truth. We have looked at about six things, important things, and there are dozens more that are accomplished by the word. What is the point? Don't lose the word. Many challenges, obstacles that you and I face daily, if only we knew the word better, more thoroughly, we would not have failed those challenges. The parable about the sower, one of the central lessons in it, don't lose the word. Put out effort to learn, memorize, have ways of finding what you need to find. Put more effort in, and the Almighty God will bless those efforts. Thank you.